Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segreto, and this is a special edition of Franchise Today. Today, I'll be joined by Susan Blackbeth of Superwash, and we'll be talking about the exciting upcoming Dealmaker Summit. Before we get there, just to give you a little bit of housekeeping about Franchise Today, of course, we are on regular summer break. This is a special edition because there's an important event coming up. And so listen each week for rebroadcasts. Matter of fact, this show will also be rebroadcast again the beginning of August, but it was important enough to bring the show live and bring Susan on live today. Also upcoming in September, we have Fran Summit, which is also part of the Franchise Essentials Media Group. There'll be a week-long second annual social media summit that some interesting information will be coming out, and really a full line of speakers. It'll be 10 hours over 5 days the entire week of September 24th, which ironically, no, not ironically, it is International Social Media Week. Anyway, without further ado, I'd like to welcome today Susan Blackbeth. She's the COO of Superwash and has a list of accolades, but I'll just briefly touch on a couple. She was one of the original co-founders of the Chicago Women's Franchise Network, then was the chair of the IFA's Women Franchise Committee. If you're actively involved in the IFA, you know Susan's on the IFA Board of Directors. She speaks nationally, most recently at the New England Franchise Association, along with a variety of other franchise groups, as well as multiple franchise annual conventions. And she was the proud recipient of the 2011 Bonnie Levine Award at the IFA convention last year in 2011. Susan, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's great to be here.
Well, I hope you don't take offense to this, because as I just posted earlier today on my Facebook page, I like to refer to you as the Energizer Bunny of franchising, because I cannot keep track of all the different places that you go, all the different things that you do. I marvel at it. I mean, a proud mom of some very young children, recently vacationed in Tennessee, right? It was in Tennessee?
Yeah. We were down in the beautiful Gatlinburg in Pigeon Forge.
Right. I mean, and in the middle of all of this, and I think what really I love is I love the picture on Facebook, Mother's Day, with you with a shotgun in hand. I mean, how do you do it all?
Oh, some days I'm not sure I do do it all, Paul, but I would never take offense to the Energizer Bunny quote. I just feel like some days I can't hold up to the accolades, but definitely just have found my passion in franchising, and not so much even in franchising as a business model, but in the people that are involved in franchising. I just feel like I've found an extension of my family here, and so I want to do everything I can to be involved. And at the same time, as you mentioned, it is my kids are 6 and almost 4, and you know, there's a lot of days I have to be sure that they are coming first, and, you know, first and foremost, I want to be a good mom and a good wife, too. So trying to balance that isn't always my strength, but I'm definitely trying.
Yeah, and certainly for all the people like myself that always say, oh, I don't have time to exercise, Susan is an active triathlete besides. So, I mean, my hat's off. You definitely do franchising very, very proud. Before we talk about the important upcoming Dealmaker Summit, let's talk a little bit about how you got involved in franchising, so everybody kind of has a benchmark and a little bit of history.
Thanks. Yeah, that's probably one of my most exciting stories, actually, is that Superwash is my family's business. My mom and dad are the founders, and they actually founded the company the year before I was born. And if you haven't heard this story, it's kind of a funny one, that my mom was 3 months pregnant with me, putting the roof on the very first car wash they ever built, but she hadn't told my dad that she was pregnant because she knows he's a really conservative guy, and he would have stopped the project if he knew that they were going to have another baby in the house. But he couldn't figure out why she kept going over to the side of the roof to throw up. So I was one of those, you know, lucky pregnancies that my mom was sick with me the entire 9 months she was pregnant. And obviously, eventually, my dad figured out that it wasn't the 16-foot-high roof. You know, it wasn't a fear of heights that was making her sick or anything. And, wow. You know, I was born in May of 77 after they opened their first store in November of 76. So when I tell people that I've been washing cars and taking care of people my whole life, I literally mean my whole life, because even when I left Superwash on the corporate side, when I left Superwash and didn't do the corporate side, I was a multi-unit franchisee of the system at that time. So I've literally done this every year of my entire life. And so when my dad approached me, I had graduated from college in 1999 and had gone to work for a different company in Chicago, was doing some really cool conference production stuff. I was, you know, in New York City every 9 to 12 days, basically living the dream of a 22-year-old. And, you know, my dad approached me and said, hey, you know, we're really thinking about switching from a licensing model to a franchising model, and I want you to come back. And so, you know, I said to him, I said, but I don't know anything about franchising. And fortunately, we were blessed to have the counsel of Lou Rudnick, who is no longer with mm-hmm. no longer with us. We lost him 3 years ago. But, you know, Lou just said, Susan, you can do this. And, you know, and here's what you need to do. You need to get involved with the IFA, and you need to go to convention, and you need to get your CFE, and, you know, just you can do this. And it was really his belief in me that said I, you know, made me feel like I could. And so that's when I came back. I was working with some great attorneys at the time, would have been Piper Rudnick, which is now DLA, and that was Amy Cheng. And Amy has now mm-hmm. founded her own firm, Cheng Cohen. And so right. I got to work through the entire process of, you know, writing our very first UFOC all the way through converting a licensing system to a franchise system. And now we're already into our first round of renewals because we were on a 10-year contract. So,
well, that's fantastic. So your mom was pregnant and probably was nauseous for 9 months because you were moving around probably for 9 months.
I probably was a little active even then.
I would imagine so. So with all that you do and all that you're involved in, you thought up and are the brainchild of DealMaker Summit. So how did you get the idea to organize something of the magnitude of DealMaker Summit, which, of course, is to match mid-level franchisors and multi-unit franchisees with private equity firms and angel investors?
So for Superwash, you know, my folks are in their early 60s at this point, and they've been washing cars and taking care of people for 36 years, 37 years at this point. And so we're starting to look at who are we going to be when we grow up and what's the company look like and what are our options available to us. And so for probably the last 3 years or so, my involvement with the IFA and just with my network of franchising friends is really about kind of trying to help figure out those options. And for most franchisors, mm-hmm. I think private equity is at least something we consider and have to think about. And so those last few years, I've worked with some phenomenal private equity groups and very quickly found out that there is a whole bunch of money out there. There's a difference of opinion of how much dry power is actually out there, but it's an astronomical amount of money. But the path between the people with the money and the people who are seeking the money is neither straight nor efficient. And a little bit of that, Paul, is by design, right? It's by design mm-hmm. because for any of us that have ever been in sales, you know that the ultimate coup is the deal that nobody knew was even a deal in the first place, right? That's the ultimate coup right. is finding that hidden gem. And so I was working out one morning, and I got to thinking about to myself, I'm like, gosh, why does this have to be so hard? And that comes from my good friend Fred DeLuca at Subway. If you've ever approached Fred with an idea, Fred will always say, but I don't understand why it has to be so hard. Like, why can't it be more simple? And so I got to thinking about it that morning, and I just kept going, why does this have to be so hard? Why can't it be as basic as if I need money or want money or I'm seeking a capital investment, I'm wearing a blue name tag. And if I have a fund or I have dollars because I'm a high net worth individual that I want to invest, I'm wearing a green name tag. And let's put them in a room together and make these deals happen. So often we spend so much time talking about what's going to happen or what we're going to do, but we never see any action. This whole event is about action. Let's get some deals done.
Well, I think you're spot on, certainly. There seems to be, you know, such a wide gap, and certainly coming out of the economic downturn, and hopefully we are seeing light at the end of the tunnel and it's not a train heading our way. You know, I definitely see the necessity because a lot of people have, you know, been around a while. They have proven models. They're looking to take them to the next level, and certainly private equity can help them do that. I know myself, I've been looking with Franchise Essentials at getting involved and recently signed a strategic partnership agreement with a franchise equity firm, Franchise Foundry, of course, a small one, but still, it's a step.
Yep.
We're all going in that direction. What are your specific goals for the inaugural Dealmaker Summit? And I assume this is something that you think will carry on year to year.
Yeah, obviously the hope is that it carries on year to year. My kind of my longer-term vision for it is that dealmakers would become part of people's strategic plan. That as part of their 1-3-5-year business plan, it's just known, you know what, we're getting our ducks in a row because we're going to Dealmakers this year. And, you know, I spent 2 months probably making research calls kind of October, November of last year to trusted advisors that I have in the industry, probably 35 of them, 30, 35 I would guess, all real big names that everybody in franchising would know, people that you really respect for what they've done and what they've accomplished and the marketplace that they understand. And what I was hearing from that group is, gosh, Susan, we think this could become a two-time-a-year event. And the reason that some of them recommended it could be a two-time-a-year event is simply because of the way the cycles work for the equity funds. So most folks know that the equity funds are on kind of ticking time clocks, if you will. They have to be invested by a certain time frame. And so, but what typically happens is they load their deal flow kind of in the spring, and then those any deals that are going to kind of die out over the summer. And then they reload kind of late summer, early fall, hoping for a, you know, fiscal year end close on that deal. So the way that the cycles work is really two cycles a year for a lot of the equity capital that's out there. So we could become a two-time-a-year event. Obviously, we've got to get this first one, you know, well populated and well attended to do that. And really what my main goals with this first one are is really show that a concept like this can work in franchising because it's never been done before.
Sure.
The franchising world has seen nothing like this type of an event before. Now, the private equity guys and gals, they certainly have because they have other kind of matchmaking events or deal-making events. So it's not such a new concept to them, even though we've added in some kind of special flavor along the way. So one, I want to get people there to understand the concept. Two, I really want some deals to get done to show that this works. We forecast that there could be $100 million worth of deals that gets done in this kind of 36 hours, which feels pretty powerful to me that we could really advance, you know, the mission of franchising. We could get Americans back to work. We could get veterans and other Americans back into their own businesses and controlling their own destiny. I really see this as that kind of game-changing event.
Well, that's really exciting. And wanted to mention Dealmakers Summit is going to be August 28th and 29th. In Chicago at the Hotel Sofitel. And if you haven't made plans to do so, I highly suggest you look into this. And also we're featuring an article with Susan in the upcoming premier edition of Franchise Essentials magazine in August, early August it'll be coming out. So there'll be more information and certainly on Susan's blog site, I mean, Susan's Facebook page, my Facebook page, Franchise Today's page. I mean, you're going to see a lot of information, and everybody's populating it out. So I really think it's going to be a great event. You know, I know, let's just put a little light approach to this, because when you first announced this, there was a series of videos that were a little bit comical. Can you explain a little bit about that in this whole serious process of private equity and franchising?
Yeah, I sure can. And, you know, one of the things that I feel so fortunate for is that I had great event partners, and I certainly will highlight our sponsors that have signed up to be a part of this too. But we had great event partners that are fun, wonderful, engaging people. And so Fishman PR, my good friends Brad and Sherry and Deborah Vilches and Rachel came down to the hotel, and I wanted to film a video announcement. And so I wanted to have a series of videos that we could put out there, over a couple weeks distance at a time. And we go to get started, and I had no idea that we were going to have to consider that the air conditioning was going to pick up on the general microphone of the video camera. Not kidding. They had some dignitaries in the hotel that day, and they shut down the second floor, third floor air conditioning for us for 30 minutes so we could shoot our videos. So my kind of general theory on life, and it doesn't hold up every day by any means, but my general theory is life's too short not to have fun when you're volunteering.
Sure.
And so let's have some fun, you know, let's laugh. It's kind of what breaks the tension, because this is a pretty big deal. It's a very big commitment on the behalf of our sponsors. It's a very big commitment of time and effort, you know, by the logistics team and the board of advisors that have agreed to be a part of it. So, but let's have some fun. And so we shot these videos, and the Hotel Sofitel, I think that's one of the big highlights of the event, is the property is just beautiful. And so we really kind of tried to showcase that, and at the same time, just add a little levity.
Sure, it was great to see. You know, some people are starting to refer to this as the Shark Tank of franchising.
Yeah.
What activities do you have planned for the actual event?
Yeah, so, and that's probably one of my favorite references, is that it is very much like the Shark Tank show, which, you know, hopefully will lend some of the intrigue, but also is part of the power of the event. And so really the main way the agenda is set up is that if I'm a franchisor who is seeking capital, my company is between $1 million and $10 million in EBITDA, I'm going to have 15 to 20 minutes to stand up in front of the quote-unquote Shark Tank. The Shark Tank in our case is a room full of private equity, venture capital, angel capital, you know, high net worth individuals, but predominantly the private equity firms. And I get to tell them why I'm seeking capital, how much I'm looking for, what my business plan is to use it for. Am I using it for growth? Am I using it for turnaround? Am I using it for a founder buyout? And I get to pitch in a room full of PE at the same time, private equity when I say PE. Then what we'll do is we'll take a break and we'll come back in the afternoon, and really the opportunity comes in these one-on-one meetings where the private equity funds will have an opportunity to say, you know what, I really liked what Susan was saying up there with her company. I want to spend another 30 minutes with her doing a deeper dive. And the reason I felt the deeper dive was so important, Paul, is because remember, the end goal is to get deals done and make meaningful
sure.
connections, and you need that one-on-one time to get there. The secondary part of that, remember I said earlier we wanted to add a little extra flavor to our event to really make it special. We were able to do that with the help of our partners at Bowfly. And what they've done is they've created online secure deal rooms. So as a franchisor or a multi-unit franchisee participant, I will have the opportunity to load my confidential due diligence documents up to a secured website for which I will have a password. If I have this one-on-one meeting or even just make a meaningful connection with an equity source at the event and I really want them to get serious about me, I can give them my password and they will be able to instantly access all of my due diligence documents, which just cuts out all of that downtime that happens
sure.
in this process.
Wow, it's really the speed dating of private equity and franchising definitely dating together. You know, one of the things that, you know, a lot of people always think about, you know, with summits and conferences and conventions is a whole bunch of speeches. And it doesn't appear that this is going to be the case. This is really, truly just going to be two sides of the room that have common interests, being able to get to know each other and then get to know each other even a little bit better.
That's exactly right. And we're going to open the event with two concurrent panels because we really feel like there is still a need for education. It hasn't been all that many years since private equity has really started making a play in the franchise space. It really hasn't been that long. And so a lot of us are still learning. What does that mean? You know, what are the risks? What are the potential rewards? What do I need to be aware of? So we'll have one panel focused on the franchisors and the multi-unit franchisees and doing some education with them. Then we will also have a concurrent panel going on in a separate space specifically for the private equity folks, because what we're really hoping is that we draw some private equity firms into this event that maybe haven't really invested in franchising before or really haven't thought about the power and just what you can flex through franchising. And we want to help them understand some of the nuances that go along with investing in franchise companies. And Amy Chang from Chang Cohen is going to be leading that group. Kevin Hine from Fagery Baker Daniels will be leading the other discussion. And so we've got some great education going on. Once you get past that first panel, though, it's all about action. Let's get in there, and these are short snippets of time that you get to get the flash. If you like the flash, you know, the sizzle and the steak kind of thing, if you like the sizzle,
sure,
go find the 30 minutes to talk about the steak, because you're probably going to like what you see there too.
Well, great. And you mentioned BoFly. We had one of the principals of BoFly, Dave Naylor, on the Franchise Today show here some months back, and met Mike Roseman at the Small Business Lending Summit, the other principal at BoFly, great people. You also have scheduled some networking time, obviously, and I think that obviously is going to add to the intrigue and be able to get down to the personal side of it. Talk a little bit about what's going to occur at night, and I imagine that would be the first night of the event.
Correct, and I would like to talk a little bit about the timing of the event and why we chose late August, because there could be a lot of people out there kind of rolling their eyes going, she doesn't know what she's doing to put an event in late August. You know, people are out on vacation. She's only looking for this thing to not work out by putting it in late August. But there's some very specific reasons why we took that very calculated risk, and it was a very calculated risk. We originally had looked at September. Obviously, we've got Labor Day in there. We've got the International Franchise Association Public Affairs Conference that many of us go to D.C. for. Then we have two religious holidays that we want to be really respectful of at the end of September. And when you get into October, you know, people start having conference fatigue. There's a lot of franchisor events. I know I'm personally speaking at three franchisee events around the country in September. So you get conference fatigue, and we didn't want people to not attend just because they were, you know, tired from being on the road. So we thought if we moved it up, we achieved a couple of things. One, we were able to get the hotel space that I fell in love with, so that was one. Two, most of the country, excluding the East Coast, is back to school by then. So a lot of families at this point have already taken that last vacation. So we thought we could mitigate that a little bit. But remember, the big thing is we're trying to get deals done, and if we want those deals to close into fiscal year 2012, we knew that the only way that had a chance of happening was if we went forward with the event instead of pushing it backward into late October or November. So anyway, that was kind of the main reason for choosing an August date, that's for sure.
I'm talking live on a special edition of Franchise Today with Susan Blackbeth, COO of Superwash and the founder of the Dealmaker Summit. We're talking about the Dealmaker Summit, which is going to be August 28th and 29th in Chicago. Susan, what's the criteria for selecting franchisors and multi-unit franchisees that will present at the summit? And, of course, they're presenting to the private equity firms.
The main criteria is $1 million to $10 million in EBITDA. That is the biggest criteria that we're having here. And I'll tell you, one of the things I've really found over the last couple of weeks, Paul, in talking with a lot of folks, is that it's really hard as a franchisor. You can have a pretty big system, especially if you get into the service sector of franchising. You can have a pretty big system and still not be clearing $1 million in EBITDA when your main revenue source is royalties. It's pretty hard. And so part of what we're learning through this whole process is there is a section of franchising that private equity probably isn't the right option. There may be other equity capital sources that are, but for most of the big private equity funds or even the, you know, some of the smaller ones, frankly, you have to have $3 million in EBITDA for them to really be all that interested.
Right.
And that is just, that's not because they don't love your concept or think what you've got has got a ton of potential. That's just the kind of the economics that govern their fund, how they spend those dollars and the due diligence dollars. It just has to make sense for them. Fortunately, there's a good number of folks that are looking at those companies in that million to $10 million EBITDA range. And when I originally started thinking about deal makers, my thought process was originally 1 to 6 million, and then we saw we really needed to expand that to be of better service to the industry. And so my thought process was, you know, there's a lot of really great companies like Superwash out there that are just, they're doing a great job. Either they've got founders that are ready to exit, they're looking to go on a good growth tear, or maybe they've really been severely impacted through this economic downturn and they need a turnaround, you know, kind of a savior to come in. But they're not going to pay an investment banker to come in and broker a deal. They're just not big enough to do that. That's really where I wanted deal makers to fit in. There's some amazing investment banking groups out there that specifically focus on franchising and do a great job. But at the same time, we thought that there was really a void and a niche that we could fill for a portion of franchising that's never had an opportunity in an event like this. You know, hotels, restaurants, those guys tend to see events like this come down the pike. But many of us on the service sector side, we just don't have access to this type of opportunity. So.
I definitely agree. You know, there's obviously going to be a whole process in this. Can you walk us through the application and selection process and then also lead into, you know, the cost involved for participating?
Sure. You'll probably have to remind me about part two because, as you can tell, I get pretty excited when I'm talking about deal makers and sometimes my mind starts running too many different directions. But, yes, so here's what would happen. Franchisors and multi-unit franchisees that are interested in attending because they're seeking capital, they would go to our website at dealmakersummit.com, which the tricky part of that is there's only one S in the middle. It's just dealmakersummit.com. Somebody squatted on Deal Makers Summit, so we couldn't get it. But DealMakersSummit.com, and they would go there and click on the Register Now button, and then there's a qualification form to go through to get your confirmation number. The qualification form will probably take 25 or 30 minutes to fill out, but very frankly, if you're ready to go out to market and you truly are seeking capital, this should all be information that you have ready anyway, because this is what these funds are going to be asking for. Average unit volume, what's your management team look like, what are you planning on using the dollars for, what's your geographical spread, how many units do you have now, you know, all those types of things are the questions that our private equity friends are going to be asking and that, frankly, any capital source is going to be asking.
Sure.
So we're going to complete those, then that comes back through the team at DealMakers, and really the main qualifier for this is, are you in that million to 10 million EBITDA range? So then I would be reaching out to folks and having some personal conversations and filling them in on the event, giving them their confirmation number, and then we get everybody registered. Our plan, as the second part of that, is about a week and a half or 2 weeks in advance of the event, our plan is to host a webinar whereby we can help educate the franchisors and the multi-unit franchisees on what they need to include in their pitch or their presentation in front of the Shark Tank to really make the biggest impact. What's the stuff you need to be talking about? What can you do to really get them salivating, get them interested in you? So that's another kind of a ding-ding bonus to deal makers that I don't feel is being offered a lot of other places. For this opportunity?
Certainly what I see is, and I'm impressed by this, and kudos to you for this, is that you're not only, you know, producing this conference, but you're really working to make sure that both sides of the fence are really educated in this process and are able to get the most out of this. I just think that's really a great second and third step to just producing it. Kudos to you on that. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just had to say
that. My gosh, that's so kind of you, Paul. Thank you. I'm hoping that that's the benefit that people find, you know, when they look and they say, who is this Susan Black Beth chick that's putting this event on? Is this a legitimate event? Like, who just randomly puts on an event like this? Who is this gal? I hope they're going to see through the process that I'm somebody that just cares about franchising and, like I said, cares about the people in franchising, but that I've been every leg of the three-legged stool. I'm currently a franchisor. I'm currently a supplier to the industry through my speaking, and I've also been a multi-unit franchisee. So I've been all three, and I think that that gives me a perspective to try and bring as much value to the table as possible for all the parties. That and, most importantly, I surrounded myself with a logistics team and a board of advisors who are absolutely the strengths to my weaknesses, because I do have a bunch of weaknesses, and they've been phenomenal. So
I think you need to add a fourth leg to that. I think that has to be all the experience, outside Superwash, through the IFA, working with so many different franchise organizations. I mean, you see and hear about their challenges day in and day out. So, I mean, I think that's a fourth leg that, there's a lot of people out there that are franchisor, that have been a franchisee, and they've been a supplier. But I think it's also the type of proactive approach that you've taken with the IFA and within franchising that has exposed you to a lot of different challenges and therefore a lot of different, comments, suggestions, recommendations, and even crying on the shoulder, I'm sure, at times. So yeah. I think all of it definitely lends towards you being positioned perfectly to put on this type of event. So if anybody says that crazy chick from the Chicago area is just putting on some type of event, I certainly will be there to your defense. Not that it needs to be, but certainly you've earned that. So tell us about the cost for the event, because obviously there's costs involved for presenting companies, but also for private equity companies to attend.
Right. So what we did is we did a two-tier pricing structure for the event. So for the franchisors and the multi-unit franchisees, it's $699 for them to register and attend and have the opportunity to present. And the reason that we felt like that was very good value add is because if you think about having to go out on a roadshow or any kind of capital call, you're likely not going to have a hit on your first one. You're going to likely have to go out and do multiple. I was talking with a friend that's actually going through this process right now, independent of deal makers, and she had been on the road for like 3 weeks and had like 32 meetings on the first capital call. So wow. We thought if we were at $699, the way that most franchisors and multi-unit franchisees could easily justify that is they could say, look, I can go to deal makers and I can meet multiple equity sources in one place and increase my odds of a deal getting done, or I can basically have one flight, one hotel, and, an overnight or two in one meeting. And so we really felt like that was just very substantial benefit. Plus, we knew that we wanted to keep it really affordable so the ROI was as high as possible for all the people involved. On the equity side, we're at $1,599 for the equity folks to attend. And we felt like that was really good value because we are going to have the qualification forms that they will be able to receive a digital or electronic book of information before they attend the event.
Wow.
So that they'll be able to really say, okay, yeah, these are the companies that are going to be there. These are the couple that I'm really excited about and I know I want to have one-on-one meetings or networking time with. So we felt like that was a really good benefit, as well as the fact that even if they don't find a deal at this event, we thought the very least you would walk away with is you would say, okay, those are companies I don't need to spend any more of my time exploring. I can focus on other companies now. So
sure.
We felt like that was just a really solid value for the equity sources as well.
I think also a solid value for the equity sources might be a concept they're intrigued in, but maybe isn't quite yet at the level they are comfortable investing in, and therefore they might, watch them over a year or two or whatever. So I think it's the introduction to those type of firms that are going to be important as well.
Well, you make an excellent point there, because I was talking when I referenced great private equity firms earlier in the show. One of the first ones I would turn to personally is Roark Capital. Roark obviously is a huge name in franchising, led by a phenomenal team of folks. And I really respect the guys that work there and the gals that work there. And so when I was on the phone with Rourke, not only through the research process for this call, but also in talking about them attending, and they will be at the event, you know, I said, I know some of these companies may be a little bit small for you guys. What do you think? And I was on the phone with my good buddy Jeff Hill at the time, and Jeff said, Susan, we're going to be there because not only are we looking for the fund that we're, you know, that we're filling now, we're looking for our next fund.
Right.
So we're looking at the companies that, just to your point, Paul, maybe aren't there quite yet today, but that they see real potential in for tomorrow. And I thought that was just a really, first of all, I think Jeff Hill makes a lot of really powerful statements in the first place, but I thought that was a really great statement from him.
Yeah, I believe so. So how are you reaching out to qualified private equity firms and angel investors to attend the summit?
So really we're working a lot of lists, and that really has been the main driver at this point. We're working with great event partners in Frandata, Daryl Johnson and Christine Friedberg. I can't say enough about them, and Edith there. You know, we're going to be working with a couple of my board of advisors who do quite a bit in the private equity world, so we'll be doing that as well. Amazingly enough, under some very wise tutelage of my friend Paul Segreto, I have gotten a little wiser about Twitter and LinkedIn and some of these other social media things, and I will be here in your defense to say this social media thing is real, people, and it is happening, and we are seeing it big time on deal makers that Twitter has been a great place. Private equity has been trending on Twitter for several days at this point, and so we've really found a lot of the private equity folks through Twitter. As well, LinkedIn has been a great place for us on the franchisor and the franchisee side. That being said, DealMakers is ultimately going to be a product of the people that people know.
Right.
Through great shows like this, through your network, my network, the network of my board of advisors, the sponsors, we're all 6 degrees of separation, and we all know who somebody that needs to be in the room for this event. Because if you're seeking equity capital, you can't afford to miss DealMakers. We just got to make sure you know about it.
Right. Absolutely. So how many investor groups do you expect to be present?
We've got our goals set pretty high at this point, and so we hope that we could fill the room with 40 to 50, and that's representatives of different capital sources. I'll be, frankly, for a first-year event, anybody that's tried to pull off a first-year event will understand this, I'll frankly be happy at half of that. I think we can make some really meaningful connections at those levels and really, you know, get a good event to start germinating. That's what we see so far. Most of the interest thus far has been from specifically the private equity world, not as much from the VC or venture capital group. We do have some high net worth individuals that have shown some interest in being there. Again, we're working against some calendars in some circumstances,
sure.
But we really feel like that, you know, that number is achievable.
So how can private equity firms and angel investors learn more about the presenting franchisors and multi-unit franchisees prior to the summit?
Yeah, most of that will come in this electronic or digital book that they'll receive. So we will take the qualification forms that come in from the companies. Those will all be compiled, and then those will be distributed out to the folks that will be attending. Two kind of key points here is that there is no general registration for the event. You have to be either a franchisor or a franchisee that is going to present and that is seeking capital, or a private equity company in order to get in. There's no general, you know, kind of general admission to get into the event. So that's another kind of special flavor of DealMakers. We wanted to keep it very, you know, very intimate, very focused to get deals done. The other part is, Paul, we're trying to be, and this is where, you know, when I put my franchisor hat on for this event, this is where I feel like we've added some benefit. We understand that not every franchisor and multi-unit franchisee can publicly go to market.
Sure.
Some of that is very confidential, given the nature of what may be happening in your franchisee system, given what may be happening with your founder. You know, that some of that is very confidential data. And so we're trying to be as sensitive as possible to the fact that you can't always publicly go to market. And that's part of the reason that that qualification information is going to be kept as close to the vest as possible and only shared with those who may potentially be a solution to, you know, to a challenge that a company is having. So we're trying to be very sensitive to confidential data because as a franchisor, I get it. I get the sensitive nature that we've got going on there.
You know, you mentioned earlier your sponsors. You mentioned Fishman Public Relations. You mentioned Chain Cohen and Amy Chain's organization. You mentioned Bowfly. What other sponsors do you have?
Yeah, so we're very thankful to be sponsored by Fagery Baker Daniels. Benetrends, and I will do an extra shout-out for Benetrends because Rocco Fiorentino, who is the new CEO, recently installed CEO, I should say, of Benetrends, has also served on my board of advisors. And Rocco has been just an amazing support to me and really encouraging in this venture. So thankful for their sponsorship and thankful for EKS&H, kind of a newer group to franchising. They do audit, tax, and consulting work based out of Denver. And that's Sandy Shoemaker, and you know they've done some really great stuff, but haven't been necessarily as visible as some of the other companies that I've mentioned. So really grateful that they are supportive of this event. Obviously, our website is absolutely beautiful, and all of our materials were all designed by Hot Dish Advertising and Dawn Kane and her team there, Daryl and his team at Fran Data, Tom Epstein at Franchise Payments Network. I'll tell you, right behind social media is how all of this credit card processing works. And Tom, if anybody needs that hand, Tom is the guy, and he's just been great. So thankful to FPN for their work. But the two that I would probably call out, very, very close in relationship to all of these is my my dear friends, Marianne O'Connell at FranWise. And FranWise specifically focuses on consulting work and operations manuals. And my dear pals, Thelma Ramey and Rose Shiflett at Plan Ahead Events based out of Tampa Bay. Those two companies, FranWise and Plan Ahead Events, along with those ladies I mentioned, they make up our logistics team. And so, as I said, I have a lot of weaknesses that I needed help with. You know, working with a big hotel and doing all this stuff, that's not my bailiwick. That's not my wheelhouse. And so, thankfully, I can go to a company like Plan Ahead Events and have Rose and Thelma walk me through the whole thing. And the same thing with Marianne. Marianne is a very eloquent writer and communicator. And so I couldn't have done it without the support of all of these folks. But specifically, Kevin Hine at Fagery Baker Daniels was one of the first ones to say, Susan, this is really cool. This is really innovative, and we want to be a part of it. And then for Amy Chang and Rick Cohen at Chang Cohen to step up and say, Susan, we believe in what you're doing here, and we believe in it so much we want to be your titanium sponsor to make it happen.
I'll tell you, that's quite a lineup. I admire all those people and connected with all those people. It's just a great team. You really put together a great team, and certainly we can never say enough about Marianne O'Connell. She's another one of the Energizer Bunnies in franchising for sure. You also mentioned your board of advisors. You mentioned Rocco being on the board of advisors. Who else is on your board?
Todd Recknagel, and Todd, who is the past president of Mr. Handyman and was a multi-unit franchisee with Blimpy. He's now at a new company, but the new company is owned by a private equity firm. And so we really felt like Todd brought a lot of value there. And then two phenomenal multi-unit franchisees, David Barr and Tabasa Mumtaz. And I have to tell you, I have been so just educated in working with some of these very large multi-unit franchisees. Another one that I will give a shout-out to is Aziz Hashim. These are just very smart, motivated, dedicated, passionate people. And, you know, when I was a multi-unit franchisee, I kind of chuckled that I even get to use the word multi because I had three stores. These guys have, 100, 170. I was very fortunate on Friday night. Tabasum was here in a town close to where I live, and he said, hey, if you don't have plans tonight, let's have dinner. I said, Tabasum, I don't know that I can. I don't have anybody to watch my kids. He goes, are you kidding? Bring them with you. This is what we do. Bring them with you. So we went to a Mongolian barbecue, which is one of my favorite places, met up with Tabasum, and my six-year-old had a kind of a list of questions for him. And I said, Tabassum, is it okay? Andrew's got some questions for you. And Tabassum just looked him right in the eye and said, yes, Andrew, what are your questions? And Andrew goes, how many restaurants do you own? And Tabassum goes, oh, Andrew, I'm not really specifically sure. I think it's like 170 now. And Andrew's eyes just got kind of big. And he goes, well, what kind of restaurants do you own? And he goes, well, mostly Kentucky Fried Chickens. Do you like Kentucky Fried Chicken? And my heart dropped when Andrew goes, no, not really. Well, he's never been to a Kentucky Fried Chicken yet. So we joked about that, and Tabassum is guaranteeing me that he's going to convert Andrew over to being a KFC fan, which I'm sure he will do. But there is just amazing brain power in this, in this group of people, and I'm just continually blown away. First of all, that they were willing to volunteer and dedicate their time to support this event and certainly support me, but also in what they get done in a day. I mean, geez, Louise, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. I was amazed. I went to my first multi-unit franchising conference in Vegas a few months back.
And, oh, yeah, right on.
I mean, some of those guys, like you said, with 100, 150, 200 locations and still looking to grow their organization is just phenomenal. We're heading down the stretch on a special edition of Franchise Today. I'm Paul Segreto, your host, along with my very special guest, Susan Blackbeth, COO of Superwash and the brainchild and founder behind Dealmakers Summit. Susan, as we're working our way down to the end of the show, what advice can you offer the presenters to help them craft their written prospectus and actual presentation for the summit?
My main piece of advice is don't wing it. This is kind of a one-shot wonder. You get one shot at this first impression. And so this needs to be a very carefully crafted presentation. And knowing that a lot of times when you make an equity, you're looking for an equity investment, a lot of times it is all just about the economics and how does the business plan actually work. But it's also about the management team that's going to be able to execute on that business plan. You know, how engaging are you and how much do you really draw these equity sources into you and help them believe in the mission? And this sounds so very basic because it is. You know, there has to be, they've got to believe in it to want to be a part of it. And a lot of times we're seeing, another equity group that's going to be at the event is Investors Management Corporation. And they just bought Fleet Feet, and they're the franchisors of Golden Corral, and they're looking to make additional investments in the franchise space too. And, you know, when they go in, one of the main things they're looking for is a management team they can get behind and really support. They're not looking to come in and kind of torch like we have heard, happens with equity. They want to help you grow. So don't wing it. Make sure you've got a very specific plan of action. Tune into the webinar so that you can get, real concrete advice from the experts in the M&A field that do mergers and acquisitions kind of every day, and make sure that you're ready to be the most engaging person from your team that can be there.
What industries do you think are most attractive to today's investors that might be interested in the franchise space?
You know, as a function of economics alone, I would say restaurants continue to be pretty appealing. And that is just because of the level of investment that is required, but then in the revenues that they generate. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Sure.
So I think that restaurants continue to be really appealing. That being said, we have seen some really neat service concepts that totally get traction in this space. And that's really why I feel like Dealmakers is, and I don't mean to brag about it, but I'm pretty passionate about what we're doing here. I think it's really special opportunity because it's not just for the restaurants. You could see, this is what I'm hoping. When, a lot of times when people think about franchising, they think about the big guys. They think about McDonald's and Subway, and they think a lot of food.
Of course.
And food is obviously a major portion of what we do, and they really help us have visibility. But there's everything from, the senior care, pet care, child care. I'm working with a great company right now that may be at Dealmakers. They're my mentees. That it's called Behavin Kids, and it's a child wellness type place where they can help children with difficulties get reintegrated into the school system. Very, very awesome concept. you know, start to finish, guys, soup to nuts is what franchising does. And I really hope Dealmakers exposes the equity sources to just how powerful this segment of the U.S. economy is. I truly believe in the model of franchising. I truly believe that it is a good model when done right and when
that's
done
right.
Well.
And I think that's a big key, and I think what a lot of franchisors that possibly do not make the cut as far as the $1 million EBITDA, but can learn a lot from this, listening to, you know, show like this, and maybe even participating in a webinar, reading any articles about it, and trying to learn about it, because at some point they're going to be in a position where they're going to be over $1 million EBITDA and they're going to be looking at private equity for whatever reason. So I really think, and I think where the other side of franchising, and everybody always has the food service side and the non-food service side, the other side in the service, and I think where companies like Superwash and probably the companies within the Dwyer Group and certainly a lot of other companies are really paying a lot of attention to putting the proper systems in place and, as you so eloquently said, you know, doing it right. And I think as more and more continue down that path of that type of commitment, I think, you know, obviously there'll be more and more companies that will exceed that $1 million mark. I saw a lot of that during the economic downturn where, you know, some of the smarter players in franchising, when they realized franchise sales were down and they were lacking, actually focused a little bit more on building their infrastructure, perfecting their systems, getting involved in, you know, kind of new age type of marketing like social media presents itself. So, you know, it's working down that path. And rest assured, the private equity firms are going to be looking at that too, as you said, that Jeff Hill said, that next fund that they're looking to accomplish. So I think it really is a good model. It's a great model. I mean, obviously, I've got a big passion for it too, and certainly you do as well. Is there anything else, Susan, you'd like to share about Dealmakers Summit?
Yeah, I think the kind of the closing thoughts I have is, first of all, thank you, Paul, for your support and encouragement through this whole process. That you've been a big part of making this happen too. But we really need folks to get signed up. The fact that I have gotten just in the last few days is that there are approximately 250 private equity firms specifically that are targeting franchise companies and the franchise industry. 250, and that was by a great investment banking company, that this is what they do, is make those connections. So I feel like that's a pretty solid fact. That's not even counting all the ones who may be watching from the periphery. So not only are there dollars here, there are interested companies here. They're going to be coming to Dealmakers, but I've got to have the people registered for all of us that need a place to be at the end of August. So the call to action is that if you go through and you fill out the qualification form by next Wednesday, so if you can fill out the qualification form on dealmakerssummit.com by next Wednesday, and when you and I talk, because I give you the confirmation number, and you mention that you heard about the event on Franchise Today, we're going to offer a $100 discount to any franchisor or multi-unit franchisee that signs up because they are supporters of yours, Paul. So that's by Wednesday, July 25th. Wednesday, July 18th. I'm a week out. So Wednesday, July 18th, if they will tell me when I talk with them that they heard about it on Franchise Today, we'll extend a $100 discount so it'd only be $5.99 to attend instead of $6.99 to attend. But we really need to get folks signed up. We're all excited about what's going on here, and we just need them to get that registration form filled out.
Well, that'll be great. I really appreciate that. Of course, this show will be available on demand at www.blogtalkradio/franchisetodayshow, as well as we'll rebroadcast it probably the first Thursday in August, which will be several weeks ahead of the event, and then also look for an article by Susan about Dealmakers Summit and Private Equity and Franchising will be in the premier issue of Franchise Essentials magazine, which will be out, I believe the launch date is August 9th. The Dealmakers Summit website URL is dealmakersummit.com. There is only one S between maker and summit. So, but then also on Facebook, it's facebook.com/dealmakersummit, which has two S's. And then also follow them on Twitter at Summit Dealmaker. That's on Facebook. And, of course, there's, let's see, Superwash Susan is Susan's personal Twitter feed as well. Anyway, and if you can't find them there, look at my Facebook page, look at Franchise Essentials, look at Franchise Today. There's enough information out there that if you can't find it, you're just not looking.
Well, and if in doubt, Paul, I would say that people are welcome to call me. My personal cell phone is actually up on the DealmakersSummit.com website. So if anybody has any questions or if they happen to be a company that just isn't quite to $1 million in EBITDA yet, just give me a call, guys. That's the one thing I would ask you to walk away is just make the phone call, and we'll see what we can do to help.
As we have a couple of minutes, what advice would you give today to the companies that have an interest in this but are yet to achieve $1 million in EBITDA?
Well, I said earlier, it's all about the franchise companies that do franchising well. And to me, it's what does it mean to do it well and to do it right? That's about putting the relationship between the franchisee and the franchisor as one of your number one priorities. And how well does that relationship work? To me, when that relationship is working, the royalty fees and in turn the EBITDA, they take care of themselves. And that's coming from a person who's had a lot of experience with relationships going south and then coming back and you know, kind of ebbing and flowing over the years. Really, another thing I would say, there was a great article just in Entrepreneur Online about Ryan Zink at Complete Nutrition, and I think Ryan made some great points there that said, you know what, I'd much rather have a sustainable growth pattern than a rapid growth pattern. And I think that's important, too, is never sacrifice kind of who you are and what you're trying to accomplish just for the sake of growth. And I think that's probably one of the best things my parents have ever taught me is that there are times when you need to grow and that that's part of the business plan. And there are times where you need to draw back from that growth, make sure that your infrastructure, to your point, is solid and sustainable. And then eventually, when you do right things for right reasons, that EBITDA is going to follow. You just got to stick clear and true to your path.
Excellent, excellent, excellent advice, Susan. Always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us today on a special edition of Franchise Today. I really enjoyed it. Learned a lot, as I'm sure a lot of other people have learned. If you want to listen to a rebroadcast of this, again, it'll be up as a on demand probably within 10 minutes once we get off the air. So listen to it at blogtalkradio.com/franchisetodayshow. Susan, always great. Look forward to working with you and speaking with you more in the upcoming weeks.
Me too. Thanks so much, Paul. Have a super day, everybody.
You too. Bye-bye.